I want to welcome everybody that's joining us online today from all over the place. Welcome to Promised Land San Marcos. We're glad to have you here on Short Sunday. Hope you brought some sunglasses or something because the glare off these legs might be rough. But we started this tradition like 6-7 years ago when we realized that July 4th was on a Sunday. And we said, hey, let's just have shorter services. We know people are going to be going out and partying and going to barbecuing and stuff. So let's have a short service. Let's just relax and be ready to hit the lake whenever we leave church. So we said, let's do short Sunday, shorts. And then we just liked it so much, we just kept the tradition going every year on July 4th weekend. So here you are. If you came and you thought, what is the pastor doing in shorts? This is an odd church. Well, it is an odd church, and here you are again. So we're going to start a new sermon series today called At the Movies, and we're going to take a blockbuster movie each Sunday and look at it, see how it helps tell the story. It's like a parable. Jesus used stories all throughout his teaching, throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he was telling stories and comparing it to modern-day culture that they were living in. And so I really like doing this because it's very Jesus-like. He would take a story that was current to them, that they were recognized and understand, and then he would put a kingdom principle in there so that they could understand what the kingdom was all about. And so I just want to give you a little warning. There'll be a little spoiler, not a whole lot. Those of you that are big movie buffs and you don't want any spoiling going on, you need to see the movie before you get here each Sunday. So this week is Independence Day, Resurgence. Obviously, it's Independence Weekend, so we want to do that. Next Sunday is Finding Dory. The weekend after that's Tarzan that just came out. And then the final week will be Secret Life of Pets. So we're going to take one of these stories each week, and we're going to look at the gospel message in the middle of it, around it. How many of y'all have seen Independence Day already? All right, if you haven't, just go ahead and save your money. Don't even worry about going on over there. Y'all enjoy it? Y'all liked it? All right, watch this clip right here. This is a little sampling of what you'd see.
She has arrived.
Pretty intense.
Who is she?
Our whole lives built up to this moment.
It's touchdown over the Atlantic.
Which part?
All of it.
Make them pay.
Not going up there to make friends.
We've got to remind them Earth is not for the taking.
Homelanders invade, invade!
You are screwing with the wrong species.
I had years to get us ready.
We're going down!
We never had a chance.
We didn't last time either. We convinced an entire generation that this is a battle that we could win. We sacrifice for each other, no matter what the cost. And that's worth fighting for.
It's the 4th of July, so let's show them some fireworks.
Hold on!
They like to get the landmarks.
Yeah, how about that? If you like things blowing up and special effects, this movie will definitely deliver on all that stuff. So it tells the story of aliens coming down invading Earth. And this is a sequel. So 20 years ago, Will Smith starred in the first one, Independence Day, where aliens came down and took dominion over the Earth. And the Earthlings had to unite and fight against this evil alien force. And these aliens are not nice. They're not the cute little Martians, you know, with the big head and bubbly eyes, and they kind of are friendly. No, these are mean aliens. They're double layered. There's like an alien on top, and then an alien will come out on the inside, and they've got these long tentacles like you saw in there, and they're just mean. And they have come to planet Earth to suck the core out of the Earth as an energy source so they can go back to their domination of all the galaxies. And And so they've come to Earth and they've landed in the Atlantic Ocean, except for they didn't just land in a part of the Atlantic Ocean. Their ship is so big, it covered the entire Atlantic Ocean. And so when you think about what would happen on the planet if something covered the entire ocean, that would be complete domination. The little earthlings down here would not be able to fight it. In fact, they try, you know, they've got their little guns and they've got their little airplanes and they're trying to fight against this massive attack of these aliens. And the aliens are not impressed at all. The aliens are much stronger. They're much more powerful. They have much thicker skin. Their armor is thicker. Their bullets are stronger. Their spaceship obviously is much bigger. And so they've descended upon the planet to savage it and to have dominion over the planet. And it doesn't matter how smart the humans think they are, or how cunning, or how funny, or how intelligent, or how much money they have. Nothing intimidates the alien. The alien doesn't care. The alien is here to take what they want. And this is a resurgence. So the aliens came 20 years ago. Americans and the world found a way to fight them off. But now here's this other wave coming. And it really is, this part of the movie is a direct parallel to the real world, where there is a force of darkness that descended upon the earth when Satan took the reign of the planet. When Adam and Eve handed over the keys of the planet to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And from that day forward, Americans, Africans, Europe, Asia, the entire planet was under this dark cloud of possession of an evil, evil devil named Satan. And we see his impact all through our life. We see marriages broken up. We see physical bodies that are hurting and dying because of disease and old age and bad decisions that were made, consequences. We see natural disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and droughts and floods. We see violence erupting all over in every sect of every people group. There's violence, people pitted against each other, murder, injuries. Greed is rampant in every culture. It's contagious, this power-hungry grab. There's jealousy and anger and abuse and neglect and betrayal. All these symptoms of this overarching domination of an outside source that has come into our world and having his way with the planet. Well, in the movie, and this is kind of the spoiler, so if you don't want to hear that, you know, do something like that or just... In the movie, they have to find a solution to fight off this thing. And so it's very interesting. This kind of comes along with the gospel of Jesus somewhat in that there is another alien that comes to try to help them, a separate from a different planet energy source or whatever you want to call it in this spaceship. And the earthlings don't know about this, so they actually shoot it down thinking that it's an enemy. And all the while, it came to help them. Very much a Messiah type, a Christ-like image that's coming to help them. And then they understand that this thing has come to help them, so they start asking it questions and it starts sharing information about how this other alien force has come to have this big plan. It has a big plan that's going to take dominion over this evil alien. Are y'all still with me? Okay. All right, here we go. So this other alien, the good alien, has this big overarching plan, just like God does, to defeat this evil once and for all. And it's come to the planet Earth so that the earthlings can participate in this big overarching scheme. And just to let you know, that didn't happen in this movie, so we're going to have a trilogy, all right? So the trilogy is going to, or four or five, who knows how many of these Independence Days there's going to be. But the Earthlings participate with this thing, and I won't give all the answers out, but just they make it in the end, and it doesn't really fit the Jesus true gospel in that this other alien doesn't sacrifice his life in order to have this redemption and all that. But I do have good news for you. There was another source that did come to this godforsaken planet, that hell reigned in this realm. But God so loved the world that he came into the world to save the world from this domination, from this oppression, and ultimately this possession of the evil one. Colossians 2:13. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, in this way, he disarmed. I love that verse, especially in light of this movie and really what the enemy has come. In fact, the Bible says that the enemy has actually fashioned, as a word that is used, or invented or figured out weapons to fight against you. But the good news of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that no weapon that was fashioned against you will ever prosper. And that's what he's saying right here in verse 15. In this way, Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. So the evil force that has come into your life with the ability to kill, steal, and destroy everything that's good in your life has been neutered, has been stripped of the very thing that has given him the power over you. Not because you figured it out or you started living a righteous life or because you have earned enough in your job. No, that's not why the enemy was disarmed or how the enemy was disarmed. Instead, Jesus disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And so Jesus Christ has made a way for humanity to be freed and be able to declare our independence from the oppressive forces of the devil. And it blows my mind whenever I talk to people and they start to tell me and talk to me about how the devil doesn't exist and that evil doesn't exist. And I think, have you read the newspaper? Have you seen about people who blow themselves up and kill innocent kids and adults and just the atrocities that are happening of the evil one, the influence of the evil one? And not just the grotesque, violent things, but just break it on down to people that are jealous and prideful and envious and selfish and self-centered and just an ugliness inside. When we want to know or we're trying to figure out how to apply this freedom of Jesus and declare our independence of the things that are oppressive to us, one of the best ways we can see an analogy of that is by looking at the United States of America's Declaration of Independence. So tomorrow is July 4th, and we're going to be barbecuing, hanging out at the river, and whatever you guys like to do on that, going to a parade, going to see the fireworks. Some of y'all may be working. Others of y'all just like to do nothing at home, lay around. Anybody like just lay around, do nothing? I like to do that. Anyway, on July 4th, we're celebrating the freedom of America. But what's interesting about it is that there was no battle fought on July 4th, 1776. There was no shots fired. No one was stabbing anybody. There was no battle. There was no fight. There was no win on the battlefield that day. In fact, what happened was a group of men gathered together in one room, and they adopted a document called this Declaration of Independence. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you can see it there. I've seen it several times when I've visited. You can see the beautiful script. You can see everybody's signatures on it. This is the Declaration of Independence. This was adopted on July 4, 1776. It wasn't even signed on that day. It was signed a month later. So tomorrow, we're all getting off work. We're all partying. We're all celebrating the free. But nothing actually was won or fought on that day. A document was adopted. But it wasn't just any document, was it? It was a declaration. It was a statement asserting a legal right. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world. That's interesting right there. That would be God. For the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved of any allegiance to the British crown. So these men were making it known. It was official. It was formally declared that they are independent from the reign of the King of England. They wanted it to be emphatically and authoritatively stated. We are no longer under the reign of the King of England. Great Britain no longer has authority over us. Now, they wouldn't actually fight the battle and win the last part of that war for many years after they made this declaration. But in their minds and in their hearts, from that day, they were free. Even though they had a battle, they still had to fight. Even though the literal manifestation of that freedom wasn't quite there yet. And the king still thought he had control. But in their minds and in their hearts and in their unity, they said, no, 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 no. As of this day, we are free. That's why we celebrate our freedom on July 4th. And so it's an amazing concept of declaration to declare with your mouth and believe it in your heart that you are free and independent from the grip of the evil one, the devil. For you to say with your mouth and believe in your heart and know that ahead of you, you're still going to fight some battles and there's still going to be some things in your life that haven't fully manifested yet as a son or a daughter of God. But instead of waiting until someday that you kind of feel like a son or act like a daughter, whatever, we're going to go ahead and declare it right now. We're going to make our declaration right now, and we want to start seeing it manifested in our life as we live our life. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of us in here today need to begin this declaration by simply telling God, I am not perfect. I have made mistakes. I have things in my life that are not like you, that don't support you, that aren't honoring to you. I have sin in my life. I've made mistakes. And I want to confess that to you. I want to declare that to you. I want you, God, to know that I know I'm a sinner and that I need you. I want to declare that to you. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold tightly. That's a strong grip without wavering. When I think about those people that signed the Declaration of Independence, that's exactly the kind of attitude that they had, that they knew that if they signed their name on that document, that they would probably be killed, executed by the English government. But they were not going to waver. They were not going to waffle. Instead, we're going to hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm or profess, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So in this movie, Independence Day resurgence, there was a resurgence of the evil one, of the alien. And so they could have waffled and said, well, we can't make it. We're not going to do it. But instead, they and we as believers, whenever we see things in our life that don't look like God, don't act like God, but we feel wooed to them, or we feel like we have this voice in our head that says, you really are not a believer. You really haven't been converted, and this is all just a figment of your imagination, and you really, this is all kind of fake. When you start feeling the resurgence of the evil one in your life telling you, casting doubt in your mind, then we can follow Hebrews 10:23 and say, without wavering, I'm going to trust and I want to profess that God keeps his promises. Romans 10 and 9, if you declare with your mouth, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, instead of declaring with your mouth that you need to get a better job, that you need to find a spouse, that you just need to have some comfort in your life, if you just need to get rid of this person, instead of declaring all those other things, instead of that, you're going to declare, you're going to have a declaration of independence saying, Jesus is my Lord. He's the one that's overseeing everything. He's the one that has all knowledge and all ability and all provision and all protection. Jesus, he's my Lord. I'm not my own Lord. No one else is my Lord. My pastor's not my Lord. My parents aren't my Lord. My spouse is not the one who is one I'm going to trust in. Instead, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved from the evil one. If you want to find out how to find safety from the evil one, you watch this movie, it's a great type and shadow of the fear and the powerlessness you will have facing the devil. If you think you're going to fight the devil hand-to-hand combat and try to beat the devil, you're going to be sorely mistaken. In fact, back in the Old Testament, God was speaking to Cain and Abel. This is Adam and Eve's kids. They were suffering from sin from their parents, passed it down to them, and they were jealous of one another, and they were fighting, and God warned them, said, hey, sin is crouching at your door, waiting to pounce on you. But if you will live righteously, you will conquer sin, and you will overcome sin. That's an amazing concept, that sin can be conquered. The bad news is, for generations and thousands of years, sin has been crouching at the door, and humans have failed every time to keep sin from jumping on them. But the good news is, Jesus stood up to that crouching sin and stepped on the head of that sin and conquered that sin. So the good news for you today is not my warning to you saying that sin's crouching at the door, and if you'll just live right, you'll conquer sin. That's not the good news for you today. The good news for you today is that Jesus conquered the crouching sin. And if you will put your trust in Jesus, he will give you the strength to overcome the evil one. And the weapons that he possesses will be stripped from him. So how do we, or what do we declare our independence from? I want to ask you that. What is it in your life that you need freedom from? I want to give you four areas that I feel like we need to declare our independence. And this is to ourselves, to our peers, and to our enemy, Satan. You don't have to tell this to God because he knows it already. God knows everything. He knows he's number one. He knows he has all power. He doesn't need you to say that to him. He knows it already. But you need to tell yourself these things, right? You need to tell yourself these things because you really don't know it. You need to know it, though. You can tell it to your peers. You can tell it to those that are around you. You can tell it to the people that you're hanging out with that you shouldn't be hanging out with, or the people that you should be hanging out. Whatever it is, you need to tell your peers, and you need to speak to the evil one. I don't know what church background you come from, what history, what theological perspective you have. If you don't have this part in your theological background, you need to add it. And that is spiritual warfare against the evil one. And we pray to God, our Heavenly Father, whose name is perfect and hallowed, and we follow Jesus' pattern of prayer in Matthew 6 about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But there's a spot in that prayer that he opens the door wide for you to come against the forces of evil, to come against the darkness in your life, and declare to the evil one, he does not have dominion and power over your life. You declare in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, and the word of Jesus Christ, that you do not have the same position that you used to have, because now you're a son or a daughter of God. You have confessed with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you've been baptized into the family name, you now are a part of Jesus Christ's family, you're now a part of the fullness of God, and you are not just one person that's on the sideline, but you're a son. And you can declare that to the evil one. You can say things like, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan. And you're not fighting him because he needs to be defeated, because he hasn't been defeated. He's been defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. All he's got left are lies. That's his only thing he has left. And unfortunately, so many of us believe that lie and get sucked into a domination of the evil one when we don't even have to be that way, because Jesus already defeated him. But we don't have to believe the lie of the evil one. So here's what we declare. We declare our independence from our sin. We declare our independence from our sin. We declare our independence from our emotions. We declare our independence from our own minds that are continually playing back that same past, that same recording. This is who you are. This is who you were born to. This is the way your family is. This is your life. You had these things happen to you in your past, and this is going to define your future. And your mind often traps you. And so we're going to declare our independence from our mind, and we're going to trust what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. It says that our minds would be renewed, that we're going to have a renewed mind. And if your mind is not renewed yet, if there's still some battles in the mind, then go ahead and declare your independence for your mind from that sin, from your emotional roller coaster that you're on all the time. And then we want to declare our independence from our apathy. Apathy that is this just blob, just status quo, one foot in front of the other, not seeing a vision of what God has for your life, selfishness, laziness, apathy, that we don't live fully the life that God has created us to live. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, there's surrounding us right now, a cloud of witnesses, heroes of the faith that have gone before us, and angels and people that are in the building right here in the flesh. You're surrounded when you're in a local church with people that are going in the same direction and want to pray for you and support you and believe in you and teach you and correct you and help you. And so what he's saying is, we're surrounded by this strength and this momentum. So let us throw off, let us cast off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is what Jesus has done for us. And because he has done it for us, we can be freed from the sin that so easily entangles us. I don't know what you've walked in here today with. I don't know if you're locked in addiction or locked in an abuseful situation, or maybe it's just the pursuit of a certain type of lifestyle, or a marriage or whatever it is that has locked you into the lifestyle that you're living, and that's not the fullness of what God wants you to live in. Let's declare our independence today on July 3rd, 2016. We can say it was on July 3rd, 2016 that I declared my independence. And there were still some battles that I had to walk through. There were still some things that I had to see fully come to pass. But the truth is that Jesus won the ultimate war. That he is the victor over death, hell, and the grave. And that someday he's going to make all this thing perfectly right. And we're all going to live in freedom and happiness and joy and health and love and peace. That's going to happen someday. Until it does, I am making a declaration to myself, to everybody that wants to be around me and listen to me, and to the evil one. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of the Most High. And there's going to be a resurgence. Let me just tell you this. There will be a resurgence. Lacey, come on up and help me finish this. There will be a resurgence from the evil one. I'm here to tell you, when you come to Jesus and you give your heart to him and you're baptized and you start walking a walk with Jesus, it's not like the devil just goes, wow, forget it, you know. No, the devil's going to try harder than ever to come into your life and steal, kill, and destroy and deceive you and trick you. There's going to be a resurgence of the evil one in your life, and that's where we stand firm, unwavering, not allowing his lies to come into our life and have dominion in our life. We want to read the word of God and quote it to the evil one. Just like when Jesus was tempted in the desert while he was fasting, he began to quote the word of God. Well, this scripture I'm about to give you is one of the best scriptures you can quote to the evil one when he begins to come into your life and he begins to have a resurgence of his evil. John 8:35, a slave is not a permanent family member of the family, but a son, everybody say son. A son is part of the family forever. So when the devil comes in your life and tries to say, you know what, this is all a big hoax, this is all nothing that you should really be considering, this is just a tradition, this is just habit, whatever, you're going to go to the devil and you're going to read him the word of God. You're going to quote the word of God. Say, devil, I used to be a slave. I used to be on the outside looking in. But I'm not on the outside any longer. I'm a son of God. And no matter what you try to come against me with, I know what John 8:36 says. It says, if the Son has set me free, I am truly free indeed. And that nothing come against me is going to tear me down or rip and strip me from the strength of God. Then John 8:44 says, Jesus talking about the devil himself. Jesus says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because the truth is not in him. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he's a liar and the father of all lies. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And you're going to hear his lies all the time. And it's our prayer today that we are not entangled with, that we're not intoxicated by, that we're not swayed or deceived by the lies of the enemy, but instead we're sober-minded, we're anchored in the truth of God's word, and we can hear with distinction and clarity the lies of the evil one and tell hell no. Y'all with me this morning? Hell, you got to go out of my life. You can start seeing the symptoms of the evil one and hell in your life. What you need to do as a believer is not be a victim of that any longer. Instead, be a son, be somebody with authority, be a daughter that has some clout, because of the power of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me right now? We're going to pray. We're going to close this out. And I'm praying right now for, I'm praying with and for everybody in the room that's come into the building today with some sort of bondage in your life. Maybe you're watching online this morning and you've got something in your life that you're bound by, and you've thought you had to compromise with it in order for there to be success. You had to just live with it. You just had to accept it. This is just the way you were born. This is just the hand you've been dealt. There's two guys, John Dickinson and Robert Livingston. You've never heard about those two guys unless you're a history buff. You never heard about them because they didn't sign it. They didn't sign the Declaration of Independence. They thought that we should have compromised with Britain. And so they left the meeting. And they didn't sign the document a month later. We don't know what happened to them, where they are. Nobody knows about them unless you really dug it out. Because they made that decision to stay linked up with the other side. I'm not here to say anything bad about England. They're one of our allies now. I'm not here to say anything about aliens if they're out there. But I am here to say something about the devil. I hate him. He's a liar. And he's done messing with my people. He's done messing with my family. And we're going to declare independence right now. We're going to declare independence right now. And we're going to say that, we're going to say with our mouth and with our heart and my mind, Jesus, I'm yours. Would you say that with me? Jesus, I'm yours. I give you my life today. I surrender to you, Jesus. I declare my independence from my sin, from my past, from my limitations, from my fear of the future. I put my trust, I put my hope, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I give myself to you 100%, Jesus. From this day forward, I look to you as my Lord and as my Savior. I give myself to you completely. And now would you just spend a moment or two in your own words and just express your love and your attention and your dedication. Maybe some question marks. If you're here today and you don't understand how this all goes, you can just say, God, I don't understand all this. There's some things I don't have figured out. There's some big, big hurdles in front of me. But God, I give them to you 100%. I'm going to walk with you from this day forward. I want to surrender my life to you. Come on, let's just take about 30 seconds right now and just share with God, with your own heart, your own mind, your own mouth, some prayer to Him in Jesus' name. Father, I give you my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. I want nothing in my life to be living or breathing or having its way that's not of you. God, I surrender to you 100%. Take my life. Take my life, God. Use my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray.